Rutherford Issues. We're everywhere you need to be. The Good Neighbor Network. WGNS, Murfreesboro.
Well, the Magic Jukebox has picked an appropriate song for us as we jump into conversation about Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation. And Jesse Clark, the development coordinator, joins us here in studio. And lots of cool things going on now that spring is here, eh?
That's right, Brian. I'm so happy to be back and have the chance to talk about some of the spring happenings. And, you know, I was reflecting today as like a lot of your listeners, I took a spring break trip last week and went away with my kids. And, you know, I was thinking about what to post on my Facebook this morning, and the appropriate article presented itself. The story was about an article of a family who got to take a vacation from diabetes. And I think that's the wish of a lot of people living out there who have juvenile diabetes in their family, is they just wish that for 1 week, like you take a spring break trip, that you could take a vacation away from type 1 diabetes. And it's such a disease that, you know, really takes over your life. So anyway, that's kind of what I came back on a Monday morning thinking about, was if we could only give the kids a chance to take a break.
So no vacation from the vacation for you. Right back to work, huh?
Right back to work, yeah. But what better way to start my week?
Well, I guess that's true. We had you on in the past, and we've talked about juvenile diabetes and what it is. And it's still, I had a couple of people mention to me that they heard the explanation and never would have really known, you know, juvenile diabetes is the same maybe as diabetes in an adult, but it just means different things because of the age. And so I thought it may be a good opportunity for those who didn't catch that segment when you were on a few months ago to kind of talk about what is juvenile diabetes and how does it affect the young people differently than maybe someone else?
Sure. And I think that is our biggest kind of education opportunity, is to educate people about the differences between juvenile, which is type 1 diabetes. The easiest way I explain it to people is that type 1 diabetes, or juvenile diabetes, is an autoimmune disease. So like a lot of things where the immune system attacks itself, that's where that's the type of disease these kids and adults who never grow out of this disease, that's what they have, is an autoimmune disease. It has nothing to do with the food they ate or what they exercised or didn't exercise. And that's part of the confusion, because type 2 diabetes, which was referred to as previously adult onset diabetes, type 2 is a metabolic disorder. And so type 2 diabetes is something where the body's making insulin, it's just not absorbing it properly. In type 1 diabetes, juvenile diabetes, the body does not produce any insulin, and you have to take insulin injections. So that's kind of the differences between type 1, juvenile, type 2, which is adult onset, not to further confuse people. But if you're looking at somebody and they're a healthy person and they are hooked up to an insulin pump, you know that they have type 1 diabetes.
That, and I think the name juvenile diabetes is just very confusing. I think that's what confuses people.
It is. And that's why, you know, at JDRF, you know, we were founded back in 1970 by a group of parents who split away from the American Diabetes, the ADA, because they wanted a cure for their children, for their type of diabetes. It's almost like this disease, if they both didn't have high blood sugar, and that's what connects these two diseases, they couldn't be more different. But what happens in the body is that without insulin and without proper absorption of insulin, the sugar stays in the bloodstream and it's toxic. So when you and I eat, you know, a croissant or a bagel, you know, something that's loaded with carbs, our pancreas works and tells the body, hey, that was about 40 carbs, 50 carbs, and it releases the insulin into the bloodstream. The insulin takes the sugar and deposits it all over the body, in the tips of our fingers, in our cells and muscles, everywhere we need it. Well, if the insulin is not there, the blood sugar stays and becomes toxic. So the complications from type 1 and type 2, both types, are the same. And that's why the research we're doing at JDRF is helping both groups and both populations.
When guess if you see a child, and that's many times when this is diagnosed now, I guess, if you see an adult who looks like a normal, healthy adult and they have the pump, they probably have been with this for many, many years. I guess that's where the name juvenile diabetes came in.
It is.
Years
and
ago.
And that's also being phased out,
right.
You know, because really the technical name is type 1 and type 2. And an easy little trick in your head, if you think type 1, okay, that's a smaller number. When they were a child, they were diagnosed.
There you go.
And type 2, just an easy trick to remember, is that's usually as in adulthood or with, you know, with obesity, sometimes comes type 2. But the rules are really changing because there are even some people with type 2 diabetes that they're not your typically, you know, unhealthy person. These are people that are of average weight, average build, and you could still get type 2. So basically throw out all the rules you've ever heard of for type 1 and type 2. We even have people with JDRF that are diagnosed with type 1, quote, juvenile diabetes in their 40s.
Oh, wow.
And age is no longer the precursor. For type 2 as well, the unfortunate part is we're seeing kids younger and younger that are eating too much sugar, that are coming down with borderline type 2, the metabolic type of diabetes. So throw out all the rules. And
so why would type 1 affect someone in their 40s for the first time?
Well, what they're seeing is that they may have had delayed onset, so that this autoimmune response that would strike suddenly in a child, you might be an adult, but you basically learn to feel bad for a long time. You can put up with a lot of, you know, uneasiness and the feelings you get when you have high blood sugar or low blood sugars. You put up with it for a long, long time. And also, the beta cells in your pancreas, we're finding that they regenerate for a long, long time before the symptoms really come on. And those symptoms to look for are rapid weight loss, frequent urination, just extreme thirst. You know, if you have a child who's, you know, preteen or 10 years old and hasn't wet the bed in years, but they start wetting the bed and they can't get enough to drink and they've just lost 20 pounds, you need to go to the pediatrician because it's probably not the flu. And that's usually what happens, is that, you know, parents just, you think something's wrong with your kid, but you're like, oh, you're just thirsty. It's sports. It's summertime. And then something will happen where you put all those symptoms together, and that's when a child or anyone is diagnosed with type 1.
JDRF does a lot to not only raise awareness, but also to raise funds to help find a cure.
Exactly. And we've got just a slew of upcoming events this spring. I think the one that I'm most excited about for this community, because that's what my dedicated position and job is to do, is to raise awareness and build community in Murfreesboro and surrounding counties. So we're doing an event here that's really different. It's called Relay Rutherford, and it's taking place all across the county on Saturday, May 12th, which is, you know, we're still about 6 weeks away. It's a relay event that crosses 55 miles across Rutherford County. There are teams of either 5 or 10 runners or anything in between. I've heard of one team of a husband and wife who both do Ironman competitions, and they said, we're just going to do this as two people. So there are some crazies out there who want to run 55 miles across the county with just two individuals, or you could get a group of people you work with and do a company team and put together two van loads of people and run it with 10 runners.
Now, we're going to get into the details about this Relay Rutherford. It's going to start in Eagleville, go through Murfreesboro, and wind up in Smyrna, huh?
That's right. And it's, you know, it's quite the logistical powerhouse putting this on. I had participated in other popular relay events. There are some relays that go from Chattanooga to Nashville, for instance.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that was a big hit with me and some of my girlfriends. We like to run. But we wanted to bring something to this community, you know, a type of race, a type of event that we don't have every day. There are lots of great 5Ks, 10Ks, and even a wonderful middle half, a half marathon. So we wanted to do something different that wasn't available in the race community. And we wanted to make it more accessible because, you know, this other competing race, it's a 2-day, you know, $200 activity. and you have to take time away from your family and get a day off from work. So this is just on a Saturday. You wake up on a Saturday morning, starting times are at 7 a.m., and you'll pretty much run for the next 6 to 8 hours, some maybe longer, depending on your speed and your pace. But we'll have well-supported race stops along the way. There'll be 15 checkpoints that you can switch out runners as often as you need to, as long as it's at one of our major checkpoints.
Now, when you talk about being a logistical challenge, let's just use the word challenge, okay? 55 miles across the county, I can understand how that could be a challenge, just because you have the safety of the runners and roadways having to be shut down, altered, changed routes, etc. Is that... Does that leave you bewildered at some points?
It's definitely had its challenges. Uh-huh. I've learned a lot. You know, this is our first year. We have some really strong volunteers that were provided to us by Leadership Rutherford, which is part of the Chamber of Commerce.
Sure.
So we've got just a powerhouse of volunteers that have helped open those doors and make things a lot easier for a brand new event like us. But the one thing that's different about this event that the runners will find is that it's not a closed course. So a 5K, there's cones, you run in a mass of hundreds of people and all the roads are shut down. With our type of event, it's an urban adventure race. So if you get to a stoplight at the corner of, you know, Thompson Lane and Medical Center and it's red, you're going to have to stop. And you're going to have to wait for the light to turn green and maybe push the pedestrian button to cross. And you'll cross when it's safe. So it's more like you're jogging through your neighborhood or you're out for a training run. Where the safety falls back on the runner. And that's what makes our event a little bit different. We are closing a couple of roads in Murfreesboro that day because we just had no other option to get from point A to point B. And we had to cross through this section. And to make it safe, we are closing a couple roads. So keep your eyes open on that day.
We will have, you know, a lot of information about that coming up when we get to the date, which is May the 12th. So let's talk a little bit about participation. Is there still room for those who would like to participate?
Absolutely. You know, our goal in this first year was about 40 teams. We're already at 23 teams. So we're thrilled with the participation at this point. You know, we kind of do want to keep it small, so we are going to limit it to the first 40 teams. But we have those, you know, roughly 15 spots available. A team costs, the team captain is actually the one that registers themselves. A team of 5 people is $200. A team of 10 people is $400. So it shakes out to roughly $40 a person, or you can get one person just to sign up the whole team. And we also have something called Go the Extra Mile, where if people want to, they can raise additional money for diabetes research by creating their own personal fundraising page, sending emails out, or updating people through Facebook to go the extra mile and raise additional funds for diabetes.
So if you have 5 participate, you're looking at a little over 10 miles, 10.1, I guess, if you each took a leg of the 55?
Roughly, you know, it would be roughly 10 miles total.
Yeah.
We do have some of our legs are about 5 to 6 miles, and some of our legs are actually as short as 2 miles. So if you have somebody on your team that's a little bit of a stronger runner, mm-hmm. you can pick your legs based on your strengths. And you can also run 2 legs back to back. Let's say you want to get your 10 out of the way and you've got to hit ball practice at 11 o'clock. You can go ahead and get your 2 legs out of the way, number 1 and number 2, and let the rest of the team continue. So our race has the flexibility to where everyone can do their strengths. And if you want to run, you know, 3 times during the day, you can. Or if you just want to run one time, you can do that too.
We are talking to Jesse Clark with JDRF, the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation, and Relay Rutherford is coming up. I really like the logo with the cupola from the courthouse on top of the relay stick. That's pretty neat.
We wanted to give it that local flavor and really let our runners and participants see the best of Rutherford County.
This event, I guess it will be... You know, how long does it take to finish 55 miles?
Well, our fastest runners we're projecting will finish it in potentially 6 to 7 hours. Some of our slower runners, let's say your average is 12 to 14 minutes a mile, which is a lot of beginner runners. It's a jog. That might take you more like 8 to 9 hours to finish. We're not going to shut the course down for anyone. What we will do is have you start at the earliest possible start time. So that's how, where we get into staggered start times and our formulas that we're going to put together. We'll create your average start time. And if you're going to be one of our slower teams, we'll start you at 7 a.m. Our faster teams, they'll start at closer to 8:39.
And so that means a pretty long day for the event staff and the people who are helping to put this together, yourself included.
Thanks for pointing that out, Brian.
You're welcome. Anything to boost your morale here on this.
I'll be hitting every Starbucks and Josaro's along the way. And I think it'll be actually the night before and the 2 days prior where all the really hard work is done of getting the cones and signage out there on the course. And then once the people start running, it's just kind of a letter roll and, you know, enjoy the day. And we're going to have a big finish line party at Stonecrest. They've come on board in a big way as our presenting sponsor, and we're grateful to Stonecrest for presenting and putting on the barbecue and music that you'll find at the finish line. And all the families are welcome to participate in that, whether you run or not.
Jesse, how do we find out more information about this event? Is it online?
It's online in so many different ways. Okay. You could go to Facebook and you could type in Relay Rutherford. We have an event set up. You could also go to active.com and put in keywords Relay Rutherford. Or you could go to our website for more information on how to register. And that's www.jdrf.org/Relay Rutherford. Also, if you are a runner, one of our top sponsors is Fleet Feet here in Murfreesboro. So if you're a runner, you can stop by Fleet Feet and talk to any of the ladies there about the event. We've got event flyers there, and we're also on their website. So wherever you go to look for your running events and something different like this, it's just going to be a blast. And those that participate in the inaugural year will get a very special something, because we hope this event will continue for many, many years.
Let's kind of shift gears. Just a few days after that will be the Active Kids Expo, so there's no rest for the weary, I guess.
There's not. And, you know, when you have opportunities, I feel like they're just gifts, and you have to take them up on that. We have a great partner in Hype Events of Murfreesboro. They wanted to do a kids expo and really focus on health and healthy living of our young people. And they wanted to partner with JDRF on that. So the following Saturday, we're actually going to do a kids walk at Tennessee Miller Coliseum. So if you're looking for something to do at the end of the year, it's also another benefit of it. We're kind of doing it as like an end of the year party. Mm-hmm. So there will be inflatables, kids art, face painting, you know, free giveaways, anything you could expect from a kids fair, with lots of great vendors for shopping and products to offer for kids, with freebies and door prizes. So come out that day if you're looking for something to do on a Saturday. The activities will start at 9 o'clock in the morning and run till about 5 or 6 that night. So as you get into the evening, we're kind of catering the agenda to more of the teens and high school kids. We'll have some battle of the band and some dance competitions and things in the afternoon. The morning is a great time for little kids before they hit their nap time and their wall. But definitely want everyone to come out. And the event is free. We're just asking for a donation to JDRF and a donation to research. Please find that on our Facebook page as well. If you go to Facebook, we have a site called JDRF Murfreesboro. If you tune into that and like us on Facebook, you will not miss a thing. So that and all the other events we have going on, you can find on Facebook.
In June, the Wild for the Cure party, too, and that's, what, the 16th, I think?
That's the 16th of June. So if you're not a runner and you're not a kid, but you'd like to party and raise money for a good cause, we're doing an event called Wild for the Cure. We have some great local leadership on that. Tommy and Kelly Santel, as well as Mandy and Paul Parkerson, are our chairs of that event. It's going to be at a horse farm here in Murfreesboro. Tickets are $75. And it's going to be just a wild and fun party with silent auctions and great food and entertainment. Something really different, I think, for the social community. We asked our committee what they wanted to do, and they said, please don't make us put on another tuxedo. They wanted to have fun. So that's what this event's all about for the adults in town.
No tuxedos, huh?
No tuxedos, I promise you.
Just comfortable clothes. JDRF.org, I guess we can find a lot of information there on the website. How far do we have to dig to get to Murfreesboro-specific information?
Well, I've created a little helpful link. If you go to jdrf.org/Murfreesboro, you're there.
Okay.
So that links you actually back to our Facebook page. You know, that we can also be reached, I'm sure, through the station or through your email address if people want to get in touch with me directly. But yeah, if you're on Facebook or email, that's probably the easiest way to reach me. And if you have somebody that's newly diagnosed, we've got support groups every month happening for parents. We've got a young women's support group. And if you just want to support, if you want to create your own support group, we'd love to hear from you. If there's something you feel like is not being met, that you have a need and you have a connection to type 1 diabetes, let us hear from you because we would love to help you start something.
Well, Jesse, it has been a pleasure. Thanks for coming in, and we will talk to you soon. And we'll keep this information handy and remind folks and put it online and put it in our newscast and Good Neighbor events and such about all of the great events that are coming up. And good luck with all of this. It's going to be a busy spring.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
Anytime. All right. That's going to do it for our program today. We appreciate Jesse Clark for joining us here from JDRF, and we will see you back here on WGNS tomorrow. Tim Tackett and All Sports Talk coming up next. Have a good one.